the cross, where Jesus suffered, though it will cost, all you claim is yours.
Your sacrifice will sing small beside the treasure eternity can measure, but Jesus holds in store.
Embrace the love the cross requires. Cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion. Only he can fashion your heart to move as his. Oh, wondrous cross, our desires rest in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, make us bolder to face with courage the shame and disgrace you bore upon your of suffering. Embrace the cross.
The cross of Jesus.
Embrace the cross. The cross of
Wonderful. Thank you, ensemble. And the music's been good. Thank you, Dr. Reed, for planning out the music program and the specials and the choir and all that made today special. It's hard to believe that we are now here in the end of April. Am I on okay, guys? All right. I can't hear myself. I don't know if the monitors are on or there we go. Come on now. That's what we're talking about right there. There, now I can hear myself. It's hard to believe that we've come now. Friend Day has passed us by. We've come to the end of the month of April that we've dedicated as Family Month, and here we are the last Sunday, the last message now. And I want to say a word of thanks to Dr. Reed for all the preparation, the teaching. He got on his soapbox a couple of times. I like that. And got in preach mode a couple of times. And even y'all see him one time. He even hit the pulpit. I saw that. And but I appreciate his hard work and study and preparation in teaching. For Dr. Young, we had in on a Wednesday night that taught some practical things about family, and just had a great month. We had a great time out at the Rangers game on Friday. Everything went well except they didn't win. But that's everybody had a good time. The thing was, when we went out there, it wasn't that we were looking for them to win or lose, though we was hoping they were going to win. The thing is, you got to spend time with your family. You ever realize how many hours that you spend with your family compared to how many hours you spend on your job? Have you ever thought about how many hours you spend with your family compared to how many hours you spend in recreation, sleeping, eating? You know what? Out of all of those things, you know the area of our lives that gets cheated? The family does. When you add up all of those hours, you'll find out that you spend less time with your family than you think you do. See, we think, oh man, everything's fine. I spend a lot of time with my family. Add up how many hours you spend with your family a week compared to how many hours you're on your job, sleeping, eating, and playing. And you'll find the family's being neglected today, comparatively speaking. I want to finish out our Family Month with one last message, And by the way, folks, just because the family month, the month of April is ending, doesn't mean that, okay, I can go back to my normal schedule now and don't have to spend any more time doing the things. No, no, no. The whole purpose of that month was to get you in a habit. Get you doing things with your family on a regular basis. You say, well, preacher, what if I don't have the money to do some things? Well, go feed the ducks. Go to the pond. Go to Randall Mill Park. Find a park or something. Walk around. Listen, there are walking paths everywhere. Listen, I'll warn you about going up here to River Legacy Park. Be careful. You'll get run over up there by skateboarders or rollerblade people or people on bikes. So you better be careful if you go up here. You'll get run over. But spend some time with your family. And I hope that the month has been a blessing to you and that the things that we've tried to plan. Now, the activity that we planned as a family, we had a volleyball tournament a few weeks ago to kind of do some family stuff, and then went to the Rangers game, and we're going to try to rent out here sometime, probably during the summer, a bowling alley or something, you know, just to have some more fun together as a family. One of the things I'd love to do, now some of you parents aren't going to get on board with me, I can already tell, what I'd love to do is to rent out a place and after church on Sunday night and just go have a family lock-in. Start about 11 o'clock at night, go to about 5 in the morning. Now listen, I can already see some of you men, you've already tuned me out already. You already go, cut me off, because some of you have to be at work early that next morning. And so we may just rent out a place and maybe just get it from, you know, 9:30 to 11 o'clock or something like that. Just spend a little time, eat some pizza together. Well, y'all can eat pizza. My wife and I will eat trail mix and pork rinds. So, hey, I'm just telling you, folks, there's less of me today than there was 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. You say, what's the difference, preacher? Man, as much as I hate it, I've been cutting out all sugar. No, wait, you got it wrong. I'm talking about this sugar. Hey, lost 9 pounds. See, y'all thought I was talking about cheesecake and pecan pie, didn't you? I've cut those out too. But I've had a blast this month and enjoyed myself with just spending some time. You know, when your children are out of the home, they're married, they're grown, they're away, and it just comes down to you and your wife, I hope it doesn't ever come down to where when the kids are out of house, you look at each other and say, who are you? What are we going to do now? Listen, I tell you one thing. My wife and I, you know, that people are warning us about that empty nest syndrome. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Garner? They kept warning us, said, now listen, I'm telling you, you're going to weep, you're going to cry, you're going to, and you know what? I don't know. My wife and I are still waiting for that to happen. It hadn't happened to us yet. Now, well, let me back up. It's happened to my wife a few times. But listen, we are enjoying ourselves. My wife and I have been married 33 years, or will be 33 years this July. And listen, I'm telling you, I wouldn't go back and change a thing. My wife and I got married when we were 18 years old. I wouldn't recommend that. So some of you teenagers thinking, hey, the preacher did it, don't come to my office and say, well, you did it, because I'm going to shoot that down in a heartbeat. Okay? You're not ready to get married at 18. Or 19, and some of you at 20 or 21. Some. Hey, listen, there's no specific age that says you've got to get married at a certain age. You get married when God brings along the right person, and you get counsel from your parents, and you get counsel from people that you trust in the Lord that will give you some direction. So we've covered all these things. I mean, we just kind of went across the board this month, and we've talked a little bit about everything. And I want to end our family month on this subject here. Turn to Genesis chapter 13, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 13. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you a scripture out of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Paul writing here says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now stop, let me say this, church. What he's saying there is that just because we go back and read stories and we say, well, listen, this guy did it, or Moses did it, or Abraham did it, or Noah did it. Listen, the Scripture says that it's given to us for our learning. And we learn one of two ways. We either learn how to do it or how not to. All right? That's basically what he comes down to and says, that through the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. All right? And so we're going to look at a story tonight about a family that just a terrible, sad situation. And in Genesis 13, would you stand with me, please? I want you to begin following along with me as I begin reading in Genesis 13 and verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now Lot was his nephew, the son of his brother. Dad had died, and Abram did the right thing, or Abraham, and took upon the responsibility of caring for his nephew. And the Scripture says, verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. That means they were both very wealthy men, very successful men. You know, Lot sometimes, and again, we'll look at him in just a moment here, but a lot of times we think that this man didn't have enough sense to put in a thimble. No, this guy understood the business world. This guy was not a homeless guy. This guy wasn't walking the streets begging. This guy had some money. This guy knew how to operate. This guy was smart. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. You need to underline this phrase right here, all right? Because we're going to get back to it in just a moment. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now listen to this. Even as the garden of the Lord. Now stop and think about that just a minute. The Scripture compared the well-watered plain that Lot and Abram were looking at as to the Garden of Eden. It was that, it was overrun with water, and it was flourishing with life, with game. It was a beautiful place. And it says, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. You need to underline that phrase, or at least underline the word separated. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now let me stop and say a couple of things here, and then we'll pray and I'll move on. Lot was a very wealthy man, just as Abram was. Lot was a very smart man. Lot was a businessman. Lot understood the business world. This guy wasn't an idiot. This guy was, you say, well, yeah, but look at his life. Wait a minute, we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're talking about prior to down the road. This guy had things, everything going for him. Hey, listen, he was there. He had herdsmen. He had cattle. This guy was a very wealthy man. And he looked out over the plains, and Uncle Abraham said, listen, just go ahead, and it's best that we go ahead and separate. So go ahead and pick out which way that you want to go, and I'll go the other way. Whichever way you go, I'll go the opposite way. And Lot saw the well-watered plains, and that's what he chose. And then he pitched his tent towards Sodom. You say, well, that Crazy guy. Doesn't he know that city is wicked? Stop just a minute. You got to understand that they were going into here, and probably the only thing that Lot had ever heard about Sodom and Gomorrah is probably what he heard through the grapevine. It's kind of like, you know, when you hear the city Las Vegas, you kind of got some idea of what goes on there. When you hear the city New Orleans, you kind of got some idea of kind of what goes on during Mardi Gras. You know what I'm saying? That's probably all that he heard. But you know, sometimes things aren't always as you hear them to be. And so Sodom and the Gomorrah area were very, again, were very business-oriented, were very wealthy-type cities where people that had money went to. This was not a poverty-stricken area. And remember now, he's kind of a business-oriented guy, and what would he be drawn to? He would be drawn to a metroplex-type area, right? Because what would be there? Trading, selling, good housing, good jobs. And so he was drawn to this area. Now, with that said, I want you to think about this tonight. And here's what I want to preach on. Every family's nightmare. Every family in this room has a nightmare about what could happen in your home. Can I say to you tonight, it did happen in Lot's. And I mean, you're talking about a nightmare, my friend. And he ended up in a sad situation. And I want you to think about and meditate on this tonight. Father, bless us now. We thank you for the written word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our hearts. Would you help us now as we open the word of God up and teach us now, Holy Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Why is it that some families seem to go through more difficulties from time to time in their life than others? Just seems that some families, it's just one issue after the next issue, after the next issue, after the next issue. And then they look over here at another family and it just seems like there are minor things that hurdles they have to get over, but it doesn't seem there's any catastrophic things that happen in that particular family. Well, I'm not talking about, again, folks, I'm not talking about accidents or health or things like that. What I'm talking about tonight in family issues, I'm talking about that it just seems like there's some families and some homes that just go through all type of relational problems over and over, whether it's spousal problems, children, whether it's a financial issue. It always seems there's something going on in this home. And I'm talking about family issues that plague every area of these type of families. Now, such seems to be the case with the family of Lot. His family had a lot of heartaches. They seemed to have a lot of things that happened to them frequently. Now, let me stop and say this to you, church families. There's a reason that many times your family experiences catastrophic issues. There is a pattern that seems to be going forward here that you experience, it seems, troubles and crisis over and over and over again. Usually, these crises are numerous, life-shaking events, and it seems to happen, and usually there's a reason why. Lot's family suffered much and experienced some of the greatest hurts, listen now, that a family can suffer. Stop before I go on any further. I don't want you to raise your hand. Anybody here ever had a nightmare? You know what a nightmare is, don't you? I'm talking about like when you're asleep and you feel like spiders, tarantulas are crawling all over you. Or you happen to be overlooking the Grand Canyon and all of a sudden somebody pushes you. You ever had those kind of nightmares? And you woke up with a cold sweat. You woke up screaming, ah! And you woke up, listen now, and you thought that everything you had dreamed actually happened. That's how real that it was. Well, I'm about to share with you tonight, church, some situations of family that was not a dream, but it was a nightmare. And how are we as families in our church going to avoid the downfalls and the nightmare of a family situation that Lot found himself in? Well, we can learn some things by doing some things that Lot, or not doing some things that Lot did. Well, first of all, let me point out a couple of things here. First of all, Lot lost all of his possessions, listen to me, not once, twice. Remember King Chedorlaomer? Remember, he came and conquered Sodom and Gomorrah and took captive Lot and took captive and stole, got all of his goods, and the king took everything. The word got back to Abraham. Abraham had to go rescue him. Let me ask you, sometimes in here what happens is we get ourselves in a situation, and boy, you know what the devil will do? The devil will come in and take everything you've got. And thank God that somebody's come and rescued us, right? Somebody's come and helped us and prayed with us and rescued our marriage or rescued our children or rescued our home. Abram rescued his nephew Lot after he had lost everything in Genesis chapter 14. Then he lost it all again when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. He didn't only lose it once, he lost everything twice in his life. Then we know, if you'll go to chapter 19, look if you would there, Genesis 19. Not only did he lose all of his possessions, not once but twice, but he lost some of his children. Listen, he didn't lose them all, but he did lose some of them. Look in Genesis 19 and verse number 14. Remember when the word came and the angel, the men that came into town, the angels of the Lord that came into town told him, listen, God's going to destroy this city. You need to get out. Look what he does in verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters more than one, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When Lot went back into Sodom to talk to, at least, we know, at least two sons-in-law, because he said they married his daughters. And he went to the sons-in-laws, which, by the way, which was the custom. They didn't go to the women, they went to the men. And he says, listen, you need to pack up your stuff. And by the way, we're not told whether there were grandkids involved. We're not told who was involved, but we do know that he had daughters, at least two, and sons-in-law, at least two. And he went to them, and he said, listen, we got to get out of the city. God's going to destroy this city. Pack up your stuff, and let's go. And you know what? They laughed at him. They mocked at his saying. Lot had to leave Sodom and leave some of his kids and son-in-law, and by the way, maybe some grandkids behind as well. So not only did he lose his possessions, not once but twice, he lost some of his children. Listen to me. Go down to verse number 26. Go down to verse 26. And then he lost his wife. But his wife, when the command came, remember, they were not supposed to look back. They were to take off. Don't look back. That was the command. And his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now let me stop, all right? I'm going to insert a commercial right here. You've heard me say many times from this pulpit that I think sometimes Lot's wife gets a bad rap. I think that many times that we look at that situation only from a negative perspective. And we say, look at her. She just loved the world so much, and she loved all that perversion so much that when she went there, she just couldn't stand it and just had to turn around and get one last glimpse at the world and all the perversion. Well, that may be how you see the story. I'm not sure I see it that way. You say, well, preacher, how do you see it? Well, let's go back and review. When they left the city, they did have to leave some of their kids there. Are you with me? Listen, and again, I don't know if there's grandkids involved or not, but there might have been some grandkids involved. But I know this, she had to leave at least two daughters and sons-in-laws and maybe grandkids. Let me ask every mama in here tonight. Listen, if you were in that situation, would you be tempted to look back? I promise you, you would. I promise you. You see, I have the tendency to believe that maybe Mrs. Lot was overcome by the destruction, possibly, of her daughters, of her sons-in-laws, and maybe grandkids. You see, Lot lost everything, all of his possessions, not once but twice. He lost some of his children, and he lost his wife. Listen, and he lost the mother of the two daughters that left with him. Now he's got two young daughters that don't have a mom. Now, you say, well, preacher, how did the story go? Well, I'm sure that when they left the city, I don't know if Mrs. Lot was in front of them, between them, or behind them. But regardless of the fact is this, she turned to a pillar of salt. Now let's suppose just for a moment that mom was behind Mr. Lot and the two daughters. Do you realize by the time they got to their destination, they couldn't look back? They didn't even know she had turned to a pillar of salt. If she was following them, they didn't even know it until they got to their destination. They didn't even realize, listen, my wife's gone, my mom's gone. They didn't even realize it maybe until they got to their destination. You say, preacher, what's the point? You listen to me. Some of you, your marriages and your kids are going to pot and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize what's happening. You say, preacher, everything's fine. Everything's going well. Well, listen, you know who left Sodom? Lot, his wife, and two daughters. Everything was going great, right? They got out of the city. They thought, hey, we'll just start over. If Mrs. Lot was behind them, they didn't even realize possibly that she had turned to a pillar of salt until they got to where they were going. So he lost his possessions, not once but twice. He lost part of his children. He lost his wife and the mother of his two young daughters. Listen now, then he lost morality. He lost morality. Go to Genesis 19, look at verse number 30. Remember when they got to their destination? Verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink this night also. Go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. You say, preacher, that's sick. Well, let me ask you this. Where did they learn that? Where do you think those thoughts came into their head about this? Come on, help me out. Where do you think they got that? Listen, the scripture says that the people of Sodom were wicked continually. They were perverted, folks. There was homosexuality running everywhere. There's no telling what else was going on there in that city. There was immorality. There was adultery and fornication and all of these things going on in the city of Sodom and in the city of Gomorrah. Now listen, you say, but wait a minute now. Couldn't Lot have done something about this? Yeah, he could have. Because he's the one that got drunk. See, a lot of times we jump on the daughter's case, but you know what? He's the one that kept drinking. And by the way, let me say something to you. Out in the world, people say, well, preacher, I know when to stop. You know what that's like? That's like getting at the top of the Titan in the front row, and it's going over, and you say, listen, I changed my mind. And all of a sudden, you're down, and you say, don't worry about it. I can stop it. I can stop this roller coaster at any time. No, you can't. No, you can't. And people say, well, preacher, you know what? I can just take one or two drinks and I'm not going to be affected. I'm not going to be stopped. Listen, you know what goes hand in hand with drinking? Immorality. It goes hand in hand. And Lot drank. Listen, I wonder where he got that idea from. Remember, he just came out of a city that was perverted. Now, folks, listen to me. His worst absolute nightmare he's involved in right now. He's lost all of his possessions, not once but twice. He's lost some of his children, sons-in-law, maybe grandchildren. His wife has turned to a pillar of salt. His daughters have no mom. And now he's been immoral with his own daughters. And then listen now. Then there was the loss of God's favor, because you know what the product of those two incesting relationships with Lot were? There was produced two people that plagued Egypt. The Moabites and the Ammonites. And they plagued the people of God. You know what they were a product? They were a product of a relationship of incest between a father and his daughters. And by the way, you know what they were a product of? They were a product of the surroundings in which they came from. That's how it ended. Listen, folks, I'm telling you. You say, oh, preacher, this is gross. You know what? No. Let me tell you what this is. This is a nightmare. This is a family nightmare. This is every family's nightmare, that their family is going to collapse around them. But listen to me, my friend. It doesn't have to happen this way. It got this way because of self-inflicted decisions.
that Lot made. Now, I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm going to give you three things real quick, and we'll find them in Genesis 13, verse 10, 11, and 12. Because I want to give you the source of Lot's self-inflicted heartaches, his self-inflicted family decisions that he made. And daddies, listen to me. You need to understand this, that it was Lot making these decisions. You say, but wait a minute. Well, he made those decisions, but didn't Abraham give him a choice? Well, let's read it just a minute. Are you there in Genesis 13? Go back to verse 10. Genesis 13 and verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. Now stop right there. I think this all started, folks. I think the downhill, the nightmare of his family started because of selfishness. It all started, this roller coaster downhill, this nightmare of a family situation started downhill because of selfishness. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. Uncle Abraham's the one that gave him a choice, but you know what? He could have chose the other side. And you know why he chose the well-watered plain? He chose the well-watered plain because he didn't want Abraham to choose it. Because if he says, no, you're my elder, you're my uncle, you choose first, he was afraid that Abraham would have chosen it. So you know what he did? He took it first. He was given the opportunity, and he decided, you know what? Better me go into the well-watered plains than Uncle Abraham. He's older. Maybe he can survive out there in the wilderness somewhere. You see, selfishness started his roller coaster ride to the bottom. Wasn't even concerned for his Uncle Abraham, which was 75 plus years old by now. So you know what he's going to do? He's a younger guy. He's going to take the better part. He's going to let the old man go another different way. You see, he was looking out for his own best interest. He was living by sight, not by faith. And by the way, can I throw something in here? Did you notice how this whole thing came about? It came about because the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham were the ones that had conflict. Did you notice that? They're the ones that had conflict. Now let's think about this just a moment. It could be, let me draw you a scenario of what it could have been. It could have been that the herdman came to Lot and said, hey, look, you know what? We're not going to be able to get along with these people and stuff. You know, they've got a different philosophy. They've got a different idea of how we're supposed to raise cattle and this. We're just not getting along with the herdman of Abraham. Lot, I tell you what, let's move on. Let's go on and start our own life. Let's go on and move on to another direction. It could be that Lot listened to the counsel of his men rather than the counsel of God, and that counsel could have led him, church, listen to me, to the demise of his own family. It could be that he listened to his herdsmen who were in conflict with Abram's herdsmen. You see, this is why we need to seek counsel that's from a source and from someone that's walking with God and not from someone who has a personal agenda. You see, these herdsmen had a personal agenda in mind here. And that personal agenda was separate from the herdsmen of Abraham. Well, Lot's men were already at odds with Abram's men, so their advice would have been slanted toward the herd of Abram, right? And so they said, listen, let's separate. Let's get away. Let's move on and do something else. And so it could be that Lot listened to the counsel of his herdmen. And when he got out there and looked, and the Bible says that that well-watered plain was like the garden of the Lord. Now, folks, listen. I've been to a lot of places in America, and I have seen some incredible, incredible sights. Let me tell you something. When God created the world, He created some incredible places. Folks, I'm telling you, I've been to a lot of our national parks. I've been to seashores. I've been on the Pacific. I've been on the Atlantic. I've been out on the Gulf Coast. Some beautiful areas. So when Lot stood and he looked down and looked over that, those well-watered plains, the Scripture said it was like the garden of the Lord. It was beautiful. Water everywhere. Game everywhere. And he decided, you know what? Uncle Abraham, he's 75 plus years old. He's lived a fruitful life. You know what? I'm taking the good stuff. I'm taking the well-watered plains. But he didn't realize that there in those well-watered plains dwelt the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And there in those well water plains existed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot, because of selfishness, self-inflicted his own family. Listen, Abraham didn't push him that way. This was a self-inflicted wound. He chose to make that decision. And because of selfishness, it started leading his family to a nightmare. I wonder how many times Lot sat up at night and began to think about all the decisions he made. You know where it started? It started right here with that one decision. It started with one decision to go the wrong direction. You say, yeah, but it was so beautiful. Well, you know what? The world paints things pretty beautiful. Yeah, the world says, come on over here with us. Man, you have a good time over here. And because of selfishness, he lifted up his eyes, and because of that, it started the demise and a family nightmare that Lot probably has thought and regretted 1,000 times over. Wonder how many tears he shed at night over those decisions. Wonder how many tears he shed waking up at night thinking about his children that were destroyed, died, and went to hell. Wonder how many times he thought about his wife that turned to a pillar of salt. And I wonder how many times, daddies, he said, you know what? It all started with me. I'm to blame. I'm to blame. It started with selfishness. Look at verse 11. The scripture says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Now underline this. I had you underline this a while ago. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. Here's what led to his family nightmare. First of all, selfishness. And can I say this to you? It's going to lead to your family's demise as well. Now, folks, listen. There's not a career. There's not a hobby. There's not a fish big enough or a deer big enough. There's not a rack on planet Earth big enough for me to go after and leave and neglect my family over. It's not. There's nothing more important to me than family. And listen to me, there are people that are sacrificing, daddies that are sacrificing their family and time with the wife and time with the kids over selfishness. Selfishness. A few bucks. See, Lot was drawn to Sodom and Gomorrah because he was a businessman, had a little money. He figured, you know what, I'll go to a metroplex area like Sodom and Gomorrah and more things are going to be fine. He didn't realize this. He was stepping into a nightmare because of selfishness. Number two, separation. The second choice that Lot chose to do was to separate. Now listen, do you understand that Uncle Abraham says, listen, let's go ahead and separate. You know what Lot could have said? He could have said, wait a minute, I tell you what, Uncle, let me talk to my herdsmen. Let me get these guys in line. I don't want to leave you. You're the only godly influence I've ever known in my life. You're the only godly man I've ever known in my life. Please, let me just talk to my herdsman, Uncle Abraham, and then I'll come back to you and we'll work this all out. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave you. But when he was given the opportunity to separate, he did. Now you listen to me, and you listen to me well, families. When he separated from Uncle Abraham's godly influence, that's when his family began their descent. And he separated himself from Abram's godly influence, because listen, all that he had ever known as far as serving God, loving God, he had seen in his uncle. And now they were about to separate. Now listen to me, mamas and dads, you listen to me well. What's happening in some of our families that's going to be an absolute nightmare in your home is you're beginning to separate from the church. Listen, you're going to start separating from services on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You're going to start separating from special services and stewardship conferences and missions conferences and Great Southwest Bible Conference. You're going to start separating yourself from services that you need and your family needs. When you separate yourself from the house of God, you're fixing to be involved in a nightmare. You're fixing to wake up in a nightmare and you're going to think, oh, I'm glad that was just a dream. God said, no, this isn't a dream. Your marriage is gone. Your children are gone. And you pinch yourself. You say, no. This has got to be a nightmare. And it's not. It's real. But you know what? Lot decided, I'm going to separate myself from godly influence. Mamas and daddies with teenagers, listen carefully. What's going to happen if you're not careful is not only are you going to separate from services and start missing services, start missing the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, but then if you're not careful, you'll start separating your kids from the teen department and from the youth pastor and from the pastor. And you'll start separating your kids from the things and the fellowship and the camaraderie that they need with young people their own age. And when you separate them, listen to me, at some point when Lot separated, listen, I guarantee you, 1,000 times over, he's thought, man, would to God that I had made the right decisions. Because let me tell you something, he had to leave some of those kids in Sodom to die and go to hell. Let me tell you something, my friend, and you need to listen to me well. There's not a, I've been there. I've listened to the mamas and daddies. I've been in their presence. I've counseled. There's nothing more horrifying. There's nothing more heart-wrenching than the groan and the cry of a parent whose child has either gone astray or whose child has turned their back on God or whose child has gone a separate, different, totally different way than they were ever raised in their lifetime. And I've had them, I've been there, I've seen them groan and moan and cry and scream out to the, for God to help them. I'm sure that at some point Lot spent many hours thinking about his decision. But it all started with selfishness. Then it moved to he separated from Abram's godly influence, from the fellowship of like-minded people. He separated from a source of counsel and wisdom. Let me tell you something. I'm not against good books, folks. But the counsel that we need more than anything is we need the counsel of this book. Okay? That's what we need. Most of the marriage counseling and child-rearing books, there's some good ones out there. But let me tell you something. Most of them take a secular approach to a marriage and to child-rearing. We just need to get back in the book. And listen, Lot separated himself from counsel and wisdom, and he's separating himself from the authority in his life. You see, Lot's downward spiral really took off when he separated his family from every meaningful thing in their life. And folks, you want to have a nightmare? You want to be involved in the absolute worst nightmare that you can possibly ever be involved in? Take the route that Lot took and your family will be in one. Just like that. Let me remind you, he lost everything, not once, but twice. Had to leave some of his children, maybe grandkids, sons-in-law, had to leave them behind. Lost his wife, his kids grew up with no mother. Lost morality, lost the favor of God. All downward spiral for Lot. Well, I said selfishness started it. Then separation, when he separated himself from his godly influence. Let me give you the last thing, and that's in verse 12. Look at it. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And here was the final straw. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Selfishness, separation, Sodom. Do you see the downward spiral? Bad choice. And the bad choice led to separating himself from all the godly influences that he had. And the next thing he finds himself is a place he never dreamed he'd be. In Sodom. How many times and how many people do you think are sitting at home tonight, families that once worked together in the church and served or run a bus route or taught a Sunday school class or ran a children's church and they're home tonight not doing anything from God? You know why? Because they were in a nightmare. And it all started with a decision. Then they separated themselves from the church, separated their kids from the teen department, separated their kids from activities, and the church is planning activities over and over and over again, and some never bring their kids to an activity. Some adults never show up at an activity. What I'm saying is you're separating yourself from the things that you need in your family, those things that God can use in your family to build some camaraderie. And when he turned his family from those spiritual sources, he began to drift, and it directed him to the wrong source and led him to Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Well, we know that when Lot found himself in Sodom, do you know he didn't find himself and he wasn't going around begging folks for food. Obviously, he had a pretty good position in the city. Obviously, the people in town knew who he was because they knew where to come find him. You see, Sodom created a situation that caused Lot to find himself in the ultimate situation of hypocrisy. Do you know that the city, those people in the city, when he came in, he had the knowledge of God. He had the knowledge of what was going on. He had seen Uncle Abraham. And when he came into the city, listen to me, he lived a hypocritical life. You see, Lot's words had no effect because of the choices that he made. No effect. Sodom had gotten a hold of him. It led him to compromise. Then it led to chaos. And then it led to a lack of faith in God. You say, what happened? He found himself in a family nightmare. Listen to me, the worst nightmare that you could ever be involved in. And it all started with selfishness. Then he separated his family. And then he found himself in Sodom, in the world. And can I say to you tonight, church, in conclusion, that Sodom was the epitome of the world and carnality, perversion, immorality, hatefulness, selfishness. That's all that city was about. And Lot had allowed his family to be so exposed to the influences of Sodom and Gomorrah that he had no testimony among the people of Sodom. And let me tell you how far that he had gone. He had been so influenced by selfishness and separation that when he got to Sodom, and remember when those men, the angels, came into town and they went into Lot's house. Remember the perverts began to bang on the door? Let us in. Bring those men out to us. And you remember Lot went out and pulled the door behind him. He said, look, guys. He said, listen, I know I probably hadn't been the best testimony, but listen, you need to leave these guys alone. And they would not listen to him. And listen, they were about to go in, and one of the angels of the Lord reached out and grabbed Lot, pulled him back in, and shut the door. And listen, let me tell you how messed up Lot's philosophy was. He was so messed up that he was willing to give his two virgin daughters to these perverts. You hear me? Listen, do you think that a few years before that he ever thought that that would ever happen? Do you think for 1 second when his wife gave birth to these little girls that he ever thought that it would come to this and he'd be willing to do something like this? You know what? He had adapted to the philosophy. He was in a nightmare in his life because it started with selfishness. Then it went to separation, and now he found himself in a condition he never dreamed. Listen, he was willing to put his own children's future in jeopardy. In jeopardy. He was willing to give his own daughters to the men of Sodom. You see, tonight, church, Lot forfeited his testimony. He forfeited his witness. He forfeited his family for a world of good time. And his influence was so marred that he couldn't even get his own daughters and sons-in-laws to leave with him. Couldn't even convince them. They mocked at him. You want to be in a family nightmare? Start making selfish decisions. Start separating yourself from the things of God, from the church, the local church, and the influence of ministry, and separating yourself from the Word of God. Listen, you want to get in a family nightmare? Keep that book closed in your home and don't open it, read it to your kids. Keep that book closed and never have a devotion and prayer time with your wife or with your husband. And let me tell you something, my friend, it won't be long, and you know what? You're going to wake up in a family nightmare, your worst nightmare that you could ever, ever imagine. Selfishness, separation, Sodom. That was the decline. That was the spiral that Lot took. And he woke up one day, pinched himself. He said, this can't be true. There's no way my kids could have been lost. There's no way my wife died. There's no way that I could have gotten into this kind of relationship, this immorality with my daughters. There's no way this could happen. But it did. And you know what? We've got families. I'm sure they're thinking, preacher, that'll never happen to me. Be careful. Because all it started with was one decision. When he saw the well-watered plains, he said, that's where I'm going to go, and I'm going to get it before Uncle Abraham does, because if he has the chance, he's going to take it. So he grabbed the opportunity. Then he separated from all the godly influences, and then he found himself sitting in a chief place in a city that's perverted. Oh, by the way, you can go to Israel today, and they'll take you to the spot to where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. There's nothing left but ashes. They say that the area where Sodom and Gomorrah they believe to be, the archaeologists have taken samples, and they said that area right there, the rock formations that they've studied, that usually those types of things only are formed at temperatures of 4 to 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You say, what happened to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? They were incinerated. Turned to ashes. Just like that. Died and went to hell. And Lot lost some of his kids in the process. My parents, we're going to wind this thing up. We've come now to the end of our family month. We say, preacher, boy, it's been good. It's only going to be good if you apply what you've learned this month. Your family's only going to turn out right, and your family's going to turn out for the glory of God if you follow what you've heard and what's been preached to you and what's been taught to you. So you can write notes all you want, but if you don't make the application, what good has it been? You've got to make the application. Are you going to find yourself in a nightmare in your family that you'd wish to God that you'd never been in? And normally it all started with one decision. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around.